want you to be turning your Bible, please, to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, we started last Sunday morning on this message, and we got through the introduction. Hopefully, we get a little bit further here today. Matthew chapter 17, and if you have your place, if you found your place, stand with me, please. We'll read together, beginning in verse 1 through verse number 7 of Matthew 17. The Bible said, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringing them up into a high mountain apart. He was and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, Elias, which is Elijah, talking with him. And then answered Peter and said unto the Lord, unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. I want you to see out of verse number 7, we began last week, the touch of God. And when Jesus had touched them, he said, Arise, be not afraid. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the privilege of standing one more time in this sacred place. Lord, we count it an honor to be able to proclaim the Word of God today. Heavenly Father, I pray for divine power. I pray for divine unction. Pray the Holy Ghost of God have His divine and perfect will in our lives here today. I pray, God, you'd come down and meet with us today. Lord, all is in vain unless the Spirit of God moves on us from the preacher to the last person in the pew. Father, we all will be a sounding brass tinkling cymbal. We make noise, but without the moving of God, there is nothing will ever happen. So, Father, I pray for the next little bit that we might concentrate on what the Word of God says. Give us something today we'd be able to take home with us and use us for the glory of God. For we pray it in Jesus' name and for His sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my beloved. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open, please, to the book of Matthew chapter number 17. We preached last Sunday morning on the introduction to He Touched Me. Here you find in Matthew 17, as we read last Sunday morning and we read this morning, there are 3 things that stand out in this passage that I read to you. Number 1, I saw a mountaintop experience. Beloved, it is good to be on top of the mountain with Jesus. It's good to be on a mountaintop experience, but can I remind you that a mountaintop is only a hill between 2 valleys. Either you're going into a valley or you're coming up out of one. If you're on top of the mountain, you're getting ready to go down into the valley. And beloved, life is that way. You can have those mountaintop experiences. You can have those times of everything is going well, those times that there's money in the bank, and those times that everybody's well in your household. You don't have to fear anything. Everything is good. But all of a sudden, that valley is looming on the horizon. What will you do when you get into the valley? As these disciples here, when they were on top of the mountain, and the Lord said they were afraid. When the Bible said that when God spoke out of heaven, they began to be afraid in verse number 6. They fell on their face, and a fear had engulfed them. The Bible said this, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. I saw that inside this Sunday school classroom here, up on one of the children, the posters there. And God's not given us a spirit of fear. So whatever has wrapped you up in fear this morning, if it's fear of failure, fear of finances, fear of family, fear of the unknown, whatever it might be, God is not the author of that. God's not the author of fear. Only the devil is. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. These disciples wrapped up in fear, and the touch of God calmed their fear. But then I saw, as we preached last Sunday morning, not only a mountaintop experience, but a miracle of the Transfiguration. The Bible said there that Jesus, his face shone like the sun, and his raiment was white as light. These disciples got a glimpse of what glory is going to be like. They got a glimpse on the other side. They got a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. Thank God for that place. If you got a place, a home over on the other side, say amen. This world is not my home. I'm only a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels, they beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. My friend, as you get closer and closer, all of a sudden the attractions of this world begin to lose their importance and their significance. Folks this week worried, and they were concerned that and the stock market may fall, and they were concerned that the government would go broke, and they were concerned that all the economic crisis. And by the way, friend, I believe this, according to the Word of God, I believe that there is coming a day that is going to be a one-world money system. It'll be a system of credit. We're headed toward that day. But thank God, we're looking for the Lord Jesus to return. And this world has nothing for the Christian. This world has no attraction for the Christian. This world, my friend, and the system of this world is of the devil. But thank God, we've got a better place to go. Third of all, I saw last week Moses and Elijah, and they appeared unto Peter, James, and John. You know, I said this last week, and it bears repeating, because here you find these three men. Peter, James, and John had never met Moses and Elijah. And I guarantee you, when they saw them, they didn't have one of those, "Hello, my name is," stickers on. They didn't have to walk up to them and say, "Hey, I'm Peter, what's your name?" They knew them, and thank God we shall know them on the other side. I don't know what all they'll look like. I don't know what my mother and daddy will look like when they pass from this earth. My dad was 79. My mother was 81. But thank God they shall be like Jesus, and we shall see them, and we shall be like him. I think, my friend, we'll be in the prime of our life. Won't be any white hair, no gray hair, no eyeglasses, no dimming eyes. There won't be shortness of breath. There won't be any cancer, heart attack. Thank God we'll be in the celestial city of God in a perfect environment, in a perfect body. Amen. But I want to give you about five things this morning on the touch of God. Notice, first of all, there is a touch of salvation. If you have your Bible and you want to turn to Luke chapter 7. In Luke's Gospel chapter number 7, the Bible says, and for the sake of time, I'll not read all of it to you, but in chapter 7 of Luke, in beginning in verse 11, there was a funeral procession in the city of Nain. Nain is outside of Nazareth. And there that day, the Bible said in verses 11 through 15, "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out by the only son of his mother." You know, as I read that, I think that's kind of uncharacteristic in biblical times, because most of the time they had big families. They had many children. But here was a young man who had died. Don't know what happened to him. Don't know if it was sickness or an accident. Don't know what happened, but he was dead. The Bible said he was dead. Was no sign of life about him. It wasn't a matter of, well, maybe he's dead. He was dead. They were carrying him out to bury him. In Jewish tradition, the way that they bury people, the same tradition they have today, they don't put them in a casket. They don't embalm them. They take them out and they dig a hole, they wrap them, they wash the body, they wrap them in a linen garment, they put them in the ground, they get them in there before sundown. So this boy, he had just died. And as they're carrying out this funeral stretcher, according to the Gospel of Luke here in chapter 7, as they were carrying it out, They're behind this funeral stretcher, and I believe they were probably moaning and weeping, and this mother, her only son, now he was dead. Didn't say anything about the dead. Maybe this son was the only breadwinner in the house. Maybe the dead had already died. I don't know. But at least this was the only child. Can you imagine that? And as they walked out here, Jesus comes across this funeral procession. And the Bible said there, and he came and touched the bed, the stretcher. And they that bare him stood still. As they, I don't know, maybe they had it up on their shoulders.
They were carrying out this stretcher, four men perhaps, and as they were carrying in this little city of Nain, all of a sudden the Lord Jesus comes by, and when he did, he walks up and he touches the stretcher, and the four men stood still, and all of a sudden, if you look there, the young man that was being buried, all of a sudden he sat up. Began to speak. Boy, can you imagine that? I mean, wouldn't you have liked to have been there? It'd have scared the daylights out of every one of us. But listen, when he had the touch of God on him, it brought life. It brought life. This is a picture, my friend, number one, of every person in this room. Hey, last time I checked, you know, I got blood pumping through here. Last time I checked, yeah, I'm good. I'm not dead yet. But it's a picture spiritually. For the Bible said in Ephesians, and ye who were dead and trespasses in sin. And the word there, dead, in Ephesians chapter number 2, and ye who were dead and trespasses in sin. He's speaking of a corpse. He's speaking not only of just a person that has just died, but a corpse that is rotting. Dead. No sign of life. No CPR. There's nothing to bring them back. You're dead. But he said, and ye hath he quickened. One that has been made alive again. Have y'all ever had a hangnail and you began to pull it down? I mean, you don't have any, you know, you may have a pocket knife, but you didn't got no clippers with you, so you, and all of a sudden, that hurt. You pull it down to what? You're quick. I like that old word. Quick means alive. And the Bible said, and ye hath he quickened. Thank God, the moment that salvation came into this old boy, he made me alive in Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, this old body is going to go to the dust. It's going to go back to the skin worm. But thank God, as Job said, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my spirit I shall see him. I'm alive forevermore. We're all going to have to go by the way of the grave unless Jesus comes in the clouds for us. There will be some living when he comes that will not see death. And a lot of folks will have to go by the way of the grave. My friend, may I say to you this morning, if you don't know Christ, you need the touch of salvation. Listen, you may have gone through the motion. You may have prayed a sinner's prayer. Some preacher may have shook your hand. You may have put some money in an offering plate, filled out a membership card, but you're lost without Christ. Oh, would to God, the touch of Jesus needs to be applied, and life comes inside. There's difference when there's life. I mean, listen, when life comes inside, I believe this, that a man that's been born from above, a man that's saved, he'll want to do the things that God wants him to do. Amen. He'll want to come to church. He'll want to give of his money. He'll want to tell others about Christ. Oh, when the man becomes saved, there's new life. Thank God for that. But here, let me share one other thing with you Luke 7. You know, this woman had one son, and now he was dead. I can't fathom that. I just really can't fathom that. I can't fathom how this woman now is left by herself to fend for herself. But Jesus walks by. And when Jesus passed by, he reached out and touched her son. Life came back. I believe this, beloved. God knows exactly how much we can take. And I know some people say, God will never put more on you than what you can stand. And that's really not in the Bible. But I believe this. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows exactly where you're at. What you're going through. The pain. He knows that. Thank God, as we sang, the grace of God, the amazing grace of God. Oh, my friend, as that woman walked out that day to bury her son,
Little did she realize that instead of a funeral, they're going to be having a celebration, for life was now back into his body. Thank God that for the touch of salvation brings life. It'll bring life.
Second of all, this morning, would you notice, not only there's a touch for salvation, but there's a touch for service.
By just by an amen, how many of you would say, preacher, I know I've been saved by the marvelous grace of God. Could I hear amen? You know, for the majority of you then that know Christ, this is what he does. He comes up and he touches you. And he said, now that you're saved, would you serve me? The touch of service. God does never ask anything of us that he does not ask willingly. Would you serve me? Would you serve me? Some of you sitting this morning, I wonder, you know, if God has placed his hand upon you and God has called you, you say, preacher, God hadn't called me to preach. If you're a lady, I can say that's for certain. Say amen right there. Amen. But wait a minute. God may not have called you into the ministry to preach then behind the pulpit, but God has called every one of us to serve him, to live for him, to do something for him. There's a lost world out there. There is a lost and dying world that needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has laid his hand on us and said, I want you to serve me all the days of your life. I'll never forget April of 1972. As a young man, I was saved at about 11 years of age. I was a teenager in 1972. We went to Camp Caraway down here in Asheboro as a youth retreat one Easter. And the youth pastor stood up, and it was an outdoor setting. And I remember, I don't remember what he spoke on, but I remember that night that I felt the touch of God on me. I felt the touch. And God said, I want you, and I knew what he was doing. I knew he was calling me to preach, but I didn't want to surrender that part. I just said, okay, I'll just do the full-time bit. You know, I'll say full-time Christian service because I didn't really want to jump headlong into it. You see, back in that day, what I wanted to do, I wanted, number one, to have a good-paying job, real well. Number two, I wanted to make a lot of money. And number three, I wanted to fly airplanes. And I really wanted to be an airline pilot. See what happened. And, you know, I'd have to be a C-147 pilot. Amen. My pastor in Raleigh he flew Navy airplanes in World War II, and he and my dad were friends, and they'd go off hunting and fishing, and he talked to me, and I sent away for information, and at that time I sent away to Piedmont Airlines and the Airline Pilots Association. I had all this material. I was a young man. I was planning out my life. This is what I want to do. I want to fly planes. I want to make money. I want to have the nicer things of life. And then in 1972, God reached out his hand, placed it upon me, and he said, I want you to preach. Me? There's no preachers in my family. There's nobody in my family that was ever in the ministry. There was nobody ever that I was ever around. I wasn't in one of those big churches where they had a bunch of preacher boys. And beloved, this morning he's calling you. He's calling you. He's placed your hand on your shoulder, and he says he wants you. And he says, I want you to serve me. We ought to serve the Lord with fervency. We ought to serve him with our whole heart. Oh, listen, I would not work my soul to save for that my Lord hath done, but I would work like any slave for the love of his dear son. God calls you to service. Third of all, this morning there's a touch of separation. Don't hear a lot about separation much anymore. We got those folks today that don't want to offend anybody. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequal yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? I believe, my friend, if you believe this, I believe that Christians ought to live a separated life. Amen.
Whoa, let's hit that again, preacher. I believe Christians ought to live a separated life. I believe when we walk outside of these four walls, there are folk out there that are looking at us and they're testing us and they're seeing us if we're the genuine, real thing or not. We ought to live a separated life. I don't mean an oddity. I don't mean you have to walk around and try to be an oddball, but I believe this, that Christians ought to look like Christians, dress like Christians, act like Christians, look like Christians. I believe we're separated for the things of the Lord. Amen.
Places you go, the things you do. By the way, do you realize that everywhere we go, everything we do, all the TV shows we listen to, all the radio programs we hear, all the music that we filter into our brain, the Holy Ghost of God is there.
We ought to live a separated life. But then also, quickly this morning, there's a touch of strength. When you're in your weakest hour, God can touch you and give you a touch of strength. You know, we're pretty weak creatures.
We think we're strong.
I mean, yes, we walk around and we say, boy, I tell you what, I'm pretty strong. But honey, let me tell you something. When sickness comes, it don't take much to stop this old heart. When adversity comes, it don't take a whole lot. And all of a sudden we'll find how weak we are. But I'm thankful that even in my weakness, God can touch me and give me a touch of strength on my life, a touch that can revive me, a touch that can rejuvenate me, a touch that can resurrect me and send me out again. We need a touch for strength. You may be weak this morning. The devil may have played a heyday in your life before you come to church this morning. You need a touch of strength. You know what our problem is today? Let me just say this real quick. It's our problem is that we listen to the enemy too much. We listen to the enemy too much. We're all human, aren't we? Listen, I'm not a super. I don't have no. If I peel my shirt off, I've just got a white t-shirt underneath. I don't have a big S. Neither do you. Personal experience. Last night we went to Duke Hospital. There in the emergency room for a good while. Got in the car to go home. I sat out there in the waiting room. My wife was back there. My daughter was crying. I said, "What did the doctor say?" She said, "Tell him, Mom." So she said, "You know, this. She's still crying. I said, "What else did he say?" "Tell him, Mom." And there's this long pause. And she proceeded to tell me what this doctor said. I told Brother Larry this morning. He said, because of all the scar tissue and all the damage, they're not sure if or how much vision she'll have. I said, "Honey, I hear what the doctors are saying. But you have a choice today. Thank God for good doctors. But when they reach their limit, God can move in. And when doctors say, 'I've done all I can do,' thank God, then Jesus can move in." I said, "You've got to make a choice. Whose report are you going to believe?" You say, "Preacher, here's what the doctors say. Here's what the x-rays say. Here's what they say. And all this." And you say, "Preacher, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to have faith. It is impossible to please Him without faith." And the devil wants to attack your faith and get you discouraged and listening to that evil report. And in doing so, you're defeated and discouraged. Hey, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to have faith in God. Faith is not something you can see, but thank God it is the things, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe what this lady has said. I believe what my sister has said. I believe what the Bible says. I told my daughter on the way home, I said, which would God get more credit for and more glory for if the doctors came out and they said, hey, everything's looking good, everything's great, and you're gonna have 100% eyesight again? Where would God get more glory from a report like that, or when they come back and they said, we've done all of it? Amen? Woman tried many physicians. She spent all the money she had. But thank God she met the great physician and the touch of God. Hey, you say, preacher, you believe that? You go down yonder with me to Henry McNeil's house. And you walk inside there 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. They gave him up. They gave him up. And they said he might probably wouldn't live through the night. And the last time I was down there, oh, listen, his color is back. He's eating solid food. Hey, what happened? I believe that God touched him. I believe that. Only believe. Only believe. Where are you at? What do you need to trust God for? Last of all, turn with me. Psalm 17:15. Christians, we need the touch of supreme satisfaction. The touch of supreme satisfaction. You know, as Christians, we're never fully satisfied down here. Can I make an honest confession? I'm never fully satisfied. If we were ever fully satisfied, then we'd never buy another car in all of our life. You know, it's like, why do they run those commercials on television? To make you dissatisfied with what you got. You bought a 2013. Oh, but now you got to have a 2014 because it's so much better. Amen. You know, the same way with our clothes, the same way with, I mean, listen, just hang on to those clothes for a while. Tuck them back somewhere because guess what? They'll be back in style in a few years. Everything I got is it's always in style. Amen. But we're never satisfied. I mean, it's all going to pass away. You know, me and Brother Terry was talking about this morning, and thank God, he said, you know, God's given me everything. It all belongs to Him, and it does. All this material stuff is all belongs to Him. And one of these days, it's all going to be burned up. We're never fully satisfied with ourselves, are we? I mean, listen, we'll go on the latest diet craze. Hello? Preaching myself now. Me and Brother Eric, when he was here, we was going out to lunch, and he had 2 little bottles with him. I said, what's that? And he told me what it was. He's putting some drops on his tongue, and he's telling me he'd lost 7 pounds in a week or something. I said, brother, I've done that. I've done shots. I've done this. I've done that. I've lost weight, and I put weight back on. And I said, it's like we're never satisfied, are we? I heard about this one guy who was trying to, he woke up one morning and he woke up and told his wife, man, I'm so tired. Boy, I'm so tired. I said, what do you got to be tired about? You slept all night. He said, no, I didn't. I tossed and turned. He said, you know, before I went to bed last night, I read where the average person turns over at least 10 times during their sleep. He said, you know, I weigh over 200 pounds. And he said, so between last night and this morning, I've been lifted over 2,000 pounds. I'm tired.
Listen to what David said in Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Go to David. David, are you satisfied with yourself? No, I'm not satisfied. David, when will you be satisfied? When I awake. David, are you satisfied? I'm not satisfied right now. When will you be satisfied, David? When I behold his face, then will I be satisfied. When I behold the face of Jesus, all the troubles of this life will seem but nothing. When I behold his face, all the problems will seem but nothing. When I behold his face, all the trials that I've been through will seem to be nothing. David said, I'm not satisfied right now. I won't be satisfied in this life. But thank God there's coming a day when I stand before him and I can look upon his face and I can sing forever the glory of his grace.
Songwriter put it,
when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, who will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me, glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory. Be glory for
coming today, we'll be touched by the Master's hand. And all the chords of life that have had a missed note will be put in perfect harmony. There's coming a day that we'll have the touch of the Master's hand. And all the cares of this life will be past. There's coming a day when the Master will touch us. When will that be? When I shall awake to sleep no more. For in that day, I'll be satisfied when I see his face. Would you pray with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder this morning, I'm sure there are folks here today that need a touch of God. There are folks here today that need to cry out and say, Lord, I need a touch of strength. I'm weak, but thou art strong.
Heavenly Father, I need a touch today on my life. I need the blessed Holy Spirit of God to come by and touch me. I've listened to an evil report. I've listened to the old devil, and he's got me down, discouraged, downtrodden. I focused on the circumstances instead of the solution. I need your touch this morning, God. I need your touch. Maybe you say, I just find myself all the time not being satisfied with the things God's given me. Maybe you need to come and say, oh God, I pray that you'd help me to be grateful for my family, my friends, my church. Thank God for my husband, my wife, my children. The touch of God. We need him today to drive our fears away. Maybe you're wrestling here this morning about eternity. Maybe you'd say, preacher, I don't know for certain if I'm saved or not. And I need the touch of God on my life. I need him to come in and save me. I made a profession of faith, but preacher, I'd have to say there's nothing real about it. There's really no evidences that I'm saved. Preacher, God has touched me this morning and convicted my heart. I need Christ. Whatever that need might be in your life, would you obey him this morning? Will you stand to your feet, please? Heavenly Father, I pray in the blessed Holy Spirit, Lord God, for the touch of heaven today. Lord, that you'd blow through this place. Touch us, I pray. Oh, God, may we not leave the same way we came in. May we not leave with the same burdens that we brought into this place. Not leave the same discouraged, downtrodden, despondent person that we came in. Lord, may we leave today with a touch of God, the breath of heaven, the joy of the Lord. I pray this in our Savior's precious name.